Are you one of thousands of individuals who know you have psychic abilities but don't know how to tap into your higher self? Refined Divine is an extremely gifted psychic medium who offers classes that can help you reach your goals. Refined Divine holds classes Monday and Thursday at her two locations and via Zoom. Classes consist of manifestation, learning psychic abilities, shadow work, and healing trauma. Refined Divine has helped thousands, and she can help you.
This is Psychic Medium Deb. You can go to refineddivinepsychic.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, random reptoid, or chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us. Share your story, share your experience. Because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday evening. We're halfway through the week. We got a lot of stuff going on here. We're going to be talking about that throughout the evening, and we have a lot to get to. Going to say hi out to Eden Prairie. Adam is with us tonight. And how are you doing, Adam?
Doing well tonight, sir. I've stayed awake just for this show. I'm actually very, very interested in tonight's topic that we're going to be talking with Liz from Magus Books on, because I am new to the paranormal investigative world, and what we're going to talk about could definitely help me out in trying to see some spirits.
I'm not sure what the point of me being here. You pretty much introduced her. My God, that's the last time we go to you first. No, it will be great. Anything else you want to give away about the show before I get back to it, or do you just want me to just kind of
so Greg
sit
and
over
I share an office, okay? And every day, all I have office. To do is listen. No, we're good.
you have been squatting in my office, and there is a massive difference with that, but that's fine. I'm okay with that.
I prefer the term sharing. I prefer sharing. Squatting's okay, but sharing I think works better.
Well, squatting's more accurate for sure. So, for those of you who have just tuned in, I will be able to do this opening a little bit more fresh now. But if you have been listening, you know that our guest tonight is Liz Johnson over from Magus Books. And and it's funny because I thought, okay, well, I think we've had Liz on a few months back. No, we had her on about a year ago. I think it was like April or something that we had her on, and we talked about a lot of stuff. But, this is what I love, and this is why I love doing the show so much. Monday, we talked about UFOs. Yesterday, we talked about stunts in the paranormal. Today, we're going to be talking about herbs, and we're talking about, herbs that can help us in different situations, herbs that maybe we want to stay away from in different situations. What I love when you have good guests and they reach back out to you and they say, you know what, we never really talked about this, and I think we should talk about this. First of all, it makes my job a lot easier. But secondly, it's like caring to kind of get that information out. And the one thing about Magus Books, and we talked about this before, is that there is a massive area of herbs and stuff and that can create all sorts of things for things that can help you. And we talked about that, and we're probably going to touch on it again. But, that therefore, what I'm getting at, there is no better person to talk about this with than Liz Johnson at Magus Books. And Liz, welcome to Ghost Box Radio. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here. So thanks for having me.
I'm happy that you're here too. And, before the show, I was saying that I haven't been actually out to Magus in a while. And that's on me. I feel bad about that. I need to come out there, say hi to you all again, and just see all the new stuff you have going on there. What's happening at Magus these days?
Well, we've missed you, but it has been fun. We have some wonderful classes for people looking to expand their abilities with tarot or palmistry. There are some delightful events coming up. A local author who's written about some supernatural experiences. Renee Valois is going to do a book signing for us. Her book's up in the store, and I'm very sorry, but it's already starting to sell. So come in and grab your copies while you can.
Get it now.
Some wonderful other wonderful events.
Now the classes themselves, can we see those on your site, or is the best way to go to that is through your Facebook page?
You know, the website is probably better, but I have to admit,
is it okay? Good.
There's a lot going on, and I don't know if all of February's classes are up yet. I have to be honest, but we're working on it.
Well,
stop by. Yeah, so just you'll see.
And just keep your eye open is what I'm going to say on Magus. You know, just keep things going. And yeah, you got to go in, you know, don't go to the website unless you want to order something. Go in, check out the store, because there's a lot of wonderful things. And as I talk about every single time that we have you on, and just when I see you in person, when you walk in and far in, unless it's moved far in a wall, there's nothing but jars of herbs and all sorts of wonderful things. And people come up to you and say what they would like to accomplish, what they'd like to do. And from there, you are putting together it's potion, right? I mean, what is the proper word for that?
It depends on the context. So if they're looking to do something magical, I think potion is the perfect word. If they're coming to see me for their health and they've made an appointment for that, that's going to be a herbal formula for their health. And that's fabulous too. But yeah, someone came in today and said, I just want a few herbs to start exploring magical properties. And I found out my ancestors are from this part of the world. So I narrowed down their choices based on what would have been used for magic by those populations historically. And she picked out 5 herbs and had a wonderful time.
That's great. I mean, and that's fantastic. And I mean, you have to feel pretty good when someone comes in and they say this and you're just like, I know what you need. I know what you need. I mean, is it always that way? Or sometimes you have to be like, you know what? I think I know what it is, but I want to do a little bit of research and let's regroup. How does that work?
Usually I know what's going on and I can help them out. And when it comes to the magical side, it's fun because I get to tell them all kinds of stories about how those herbs have been used. Like what herb did Charlemagne, the great King Charlemagne of France, first, you know, do the first like health mandate, public health mandate mm-hmm. for his people. That herb's out there. We know it. It's known. And I'll be talking about it tonight.
You know, it's such an interesting point, too, that when you're talking about this stuff, you know, we're talking about something that goes back, what, thousands of years. Yes. And it hasn't changed. It's still the same thing. So it's not, you know, I'm sure there are some, but what we're talking about here, though, it's not like, oh, well, it's been redone with it. You're talking about literally if you want to have something that Charlemagne had used, you can do that. You can that you can prove that this is what Charlemagne yep. had. There's provenance for it.
And interestingly, there is sometimes modern research that bears out the use, which is equally fascinating. Something that would be used to repel negative spirits turns out helps prevent coughs because it helps you fight off airborne microbes. And those would be evil spirits to those people. So we have an herb that we know repels evil spirits and negative magic. And lo and behold, it will help you with the flu.
I mean, medical science kind of got away from this for a while. And I think we talked about this last time, got away from it. And now people are, you know, and I don't mean now it's obviously all this stuff isn't necessarily super recent, but it does feel like a trend is moving back to being more in line with the work that you've been doing.
Absolutely. One, research keeps bearing out the claims, and that's a slow process because it's not a profitable place to do research. You're not going to get a ton of patentable drugs out of that. And two, the more we make healthcare inaccessible, the more we need alternatives to what's unaffordable. And this is affordable for far more people. And as long as it's done with safety in mind, I think it's great.
And there had it been even before we're talking about the healthcare thing, I would also presume that we're talking about the fact that there is, you know, and I think about the 90s, you know, there was a point where people just wanted to be healthier. You know, we've had enough of certain like saccharin and other things that are in our pops or whatever else. And you know, people started to get back to basics or whatever else. Does that bear any truth at all? Does that kind of jive?
I think so, yes. And there are plenty of studies that show that the isolated chemical that we put into a pill isn't tolerated by everyone or ingested correctly by everyone, but it turns out it's better tolerated when it's back with the rest of its chemical packaging that nature provided. And it's sort of amazing. And because those magical uses and those medicinal uses were almost considered to be the same thing, even as little as 200 or 250 years ago, the overlay between those two art forms, between the medicine side and the magical side, is just incredible.
So are you saying that when it becomes like when pharmaceuticals are turning it into like a pill and stuff, they're stripping away everything else and taking, go ahead.
Yeah, no, exactly. They're taking the one active constituent, that one thing that they've decided does most of the work. Aspirin is a great example. Not everybody can tolerate aspirin, on the small scale studies that have been done with people who do not tolerate aspirin, it turns out they tolerate white willow bark quite well. I would still approach that with caution if I were allergic to aspirin, but the studies have been remarkable in their results. And the theory is that some of the unimportant chemicals play a really important role in how we ingest that aspirin. And the same is true for magical uses.
And so nature pretty much has said, we know the balance in theory of how this works. And human arrogance once again comes through and says, oh no, we're going to strip it to just the part because cost, or just that we think that we know better. Yeah. We're going to put that out there. And that ends up being, could potentially be something that's actually whether harmful or just very unpleasant for people.
Right, exactly. Well, even simple things like alfalfa sprouts come with the right amount of copper to help you absorb the iron that's in there. Little things like that, where there's a payoff because we evolved with these plants and they evolved with us.
that's a great point. And suddenly we're rapidly changing that ecosystem, and that's actually a really good point. I never thought about that, there's nothing wrong. I'm not trying to make it sound like that having any sort of like science interest is a bad thing. I'm not a Luddite over here, but what I do feel though is like let's be smart about it. And sometimes it feels like that progress kind of trumps bad term, the actual trying to, you know, get to something that actually helps people. I don't know. It's interesting. It's really true. You know what I don't like, and I don't know if you use it at all. I hate it in every form, every sort of iteration. I even hate the name licorice.
Oh, I am not a fan of the flavor myself. It's not something I love to eat, but I have found it to be profoundly useful when used in incredibly tiny amounts, to the point where you do not taste any licorice, but you taste sweet.
And you taste the benefit of it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then it does actually have some very positive effects.
What, like what? Because I'm still not on board with this. I mean, I've had Jägermeister once. I've had it once.
Me too.
And
that was all
it took. I took a sip and I could feel the drunkenness like head up from my feet to top of my head. I was 22, 21 still actually. And I was sick for like 3 days. afterwards. It just, and that was one shot. And I just don't understand it. But I mean, licorice anyway, black licorice anyway. I just.
Yeah, no, it's not my fave. But in tiny amounts, people have noticed that it will sometimes really help the endocrine system to recover from all kinds of wear and tear and abuse. And it's kind of nice in that way. Now, it's got a host of cautions and things. There's lots of things to look up if you're interested in licorice, but it can be very useful. But I like it in that minute quantity, so I'm not tasting any licorice. And it's not just a personal preference. It's a physiological, like a biological thing. There's been some research done on the what you could almost call the microdosing of it being beneficial in ways that the full-blown herb isn't as beneficial.
Now, as we're going to head to break in a second here, but I want to ask you a question, and that is just that we've talked about this before too, but I think it's worth saying again that if you're thinking about and I mean the general public, and they're listening to us and they're like, oh, I've not thought about herbs before. I think I might want to do something with this. It really is best to consult somebody before you start playing around, right? I mean, just like with anything.
I think so, yes. You want to know that the medications you're taking, if you are taking any, aren't interacting with anything. You want to know that if there's an herb that you should take away from medications or foods, that you understand that. There's a whole host of little factors to think about. So I would recommend seeing somebody, certainly looking at all the cautions, and there are plenty of good sites online where you can get nice overblown cautions that sometimes are silly, but they'll keep you safe because they're a little overblown. And I like that about them. So,
you can also talk with Liz over at Magus and go and check it out. But I mean, just like, ask her to help you put something together. And, as I always say too, we're all small businesses. We all just want to help each other out. And, you're located over on Central Avenue, and I love Central Avenue. Grew up in that area, so always a soft spot.
And making an appointment for medicinal use is super easy, super simple, and always fun. Always
and highly recommended, right? Yeah, very much so. You know, when we're going to take a break, when we come back, Liz is going to talk with us about herbs when we are paranormal investigating. And there's certain things that she has is going to talk to us about that is for the benefit of it, and maybe you don't want to take part in and do when you're on these investigations. And we're going to blow this out a little bit more. If you have any questions, put them in the comments. You can also call in 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We have Liz from Magus with us tonight. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And I'm happy to say that Wednesday, February 5th, Ghost Stories and Beyond returns at Billy's Bar and Grill in Anoka, Minnesota. And we have a very special guest for us coming up for Ghost Stories and Beyond. And we're going to she's going to be in person, author June Gosler Anderson. And she has written many books about many paranormal locations. She's a world traveler. She is always on the move, but she is a great author, and she's doing a presentation on Wednesday, February 5th, and we do this at 6:30 p.m. It's a presentation about Haunted Anoka, and I have heard, because I have not seen this, I have heard it is a fantastic presentation. She is real. I mean, Anoka is where she lives, so she's kind of aware of what Anoka is like. Anoka is super haunted. You want to come out, 6:30, the presentation starts. It's also a half-price burger night, and it's $10 a person to get in. And we are really excited for June to come and join us for that. So that's Ghost Stories and Beyond on February 5th, which is a week. Well, it's actually less than a week away. No, it is a week as of now. I don't even know what day it is. It's so busy that, and this is a good busy, that I don't even know where I am. So there is that for you as well. But I do know on February 5th, I will be at Billy's Bar and Grill listening to June. I hope you're going to join us too. We have Liz Johnson from Magus Books with us tonight, and we are talking about herbs. We're talking about her beautiful store, has so many, and I'm a big book guy. So when you mentioned that you have Renee's book there, and we're going to have Renee on the show in February, so we'll talk about, but don't wait for her to be on the show to go to Magus and get the book. It's a very good book. I've already kind of looked through it. It's about haunted collectibles, if I'm not mistaken, and it's really good. So go out to Magus and get the book. Do it, please. That's all I'm going to say. And you're not going to disagree with me about that, Liz, are you?
We've also got June's books at the shop, so come and check them all out. And Renee will be on our live next Wednesday. We'll be trading our personal ghost stories. It'll be a lot of fun. So I know she's going to be on your show.
Yeah, apparently no need. She's going to be with you guys first. So we're just going to cancel. See how childish I can be about everything? we're going to talk about herbs when it comes to paranormal investigating. And when you reached out to me a couple weeks back and you're just like, you know, we never talked about this and herbs that you can use when you're investigating and stuff. I thought, my gosh, I had no idea. And this is so intriguing. So where do we go with this, Liz? I mean, what is it that where do you want to start with?
Well, I love that we get to just add another layer of knowledge onto the practice, but there are several places to go. There are herbs to use if you are working in a place where you have no familial context, no one who could be descended from the ghost is present. And then there are herbs you'd really want to use when it is a family home and they can kind of tell it's great grandpa or, you know, great uncle so-and-so. And then there are herbs you can use because you want to contact those ancestors yourself. And people around the world have used herbs for these three basic purposes: to protect themselves and drive away something that they don't want, to meet with and work with something that they do want to meet and work with, and to let family members know that it's okay, that they've passed on, that they can move on, that they'll be remembered and still valued and cherished and loved even though they've left. So I don't know which one you want to talk about first.
let's talk about relatives. Let's talk about if we want to reach out to a relative, and you had mentioned that there's herbs that if you're familiar with the spirit or whatever else, and there, and I wasn't sure when you said if, and also, you know, there's herbs if you want to reach out to them. Is it all one herb, or are there a couple different herbs for within that?
There's so many different herbs because there's so many cultures around the world that have done this work that we really do have this huge wealth of knowledge now. Whether we're talking about African dream root, which is a personal favorite of mine, which, by the way, I'm glad we're on after 10 o'clock because the African dream root is an herb for grownups. It's not an herb for little kids. It can alter your head a little bit. We don't want to give that to anybody who's a child, but it's absolutely one of my favorites and is traditionally used to contact your ancestors, your past, your deceased relatives, whether you want to ask for advice, develop a relationship, just let them know that they are valued and loved and experience that love in return. That's a really traditional herb from Southern Africa, mostly from what is South Africa today, but been used there for thousands of years to get in touch with your ancestors. From this side of the planet, we've got Kalia Zakatechichi. I know that's a mouthful. You can you can,
but it's not fun to spell either.
Kali is fine, but the full name botanically is Kalia Zakatechichi, and that's another herb that has absolutely been used to try and reach your personal deceased ancestors. And for some of these traditions, it's for people you know, that you knew while you were both still alive. Maybe it's a grandparent or a great grandparent. And for others, it's been about reaching much further back in time to people you may have descended from 100 years ago, 500 years ago. Some of these herbs are a little mind-altering. Those first two are. I would not give them to a child, but some are milder. So you will find things like rosemary being used if you're going to encounter an entity. Just to reach into my childhood, there was a very, very creepy room in my grandparents' house, and I did not know why it was creepy until I was nearly 30 and I told people how I felt about the room, and they went, oh yeah, your great grandfather died there. That's a room that it would be great to have some rosemary in. Rosemary has always been about remembering. It's been about remembering wedding vows, but it's also been about remembering the deceased relatives who've passed before you. And to be fair, I'm told I met him once. So, but that's a nice mild herb that you'd want for that family relationship.
Sure. And you know, the first one, the African dream, African dream root. Is this putting you into like a sleep state or?
Definitely. Yeah. Something where you're going to remember your dreams better, or meditation will be a little more effective. So if you are concentrating on meeting that relative who passed before, you're just in a more receptive state to do that.
Got it.
To get it accomplished. Cool. Yeah.
How cool. Now, have you tried this?
I have, because I teach a class on entheogenic herbs once a month. It's always the first Sunday of the month at noon, and we pick an herb and we have a little sample. We talk a little bit of the folklore, the technology, the medical information, anything we might need to convey. And then we take a little break, and then we go on a little guided meditation so people can experience what that herb does for them, how it works for them. Some are stunning. Sure. There's one that alters visuals. But African dream root, I find really relaxing, calming, really enhances dream work and that ancestral work as well. So it's a wonderful herb to work with.
Have you been able to reach out to loved ones in that way?
I have used it that way. Not recently, because there have been, and 2 years ago, both my father and my husband died in the same year. It's a little too close. I'm not ready for that work.
Oh, absolutely.
But I had previously, and that was wonderful to be able to have that sense of having like my grandmother around. That kind of thing has been really a wonderful experience. And whether we're talking about, for those of you who want to be total skeptics, whether we're talking about it's just allowing me to unlock memories and, you know, relive things, or whether it's psychically opening me up so that I can commune with those, I don't care. I liked the experience. That's the part that matters to me.
100%. You know, I always say that too. I say it to people, if it resonates with you, what's the problem? You know, it's, you know, I mean, when you have people, and I get this with my spirit box work, you know, where people like, you know, I didn't hear what so-and-so heard. They heard their whomever, loved ones. And it's like, and what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with it. If it made them feel good, there's nothing wrong with it whatsoever. And just
exactly. Exactly.
A lot of party poopers out there. That's the problem. There's a lot of people who are just like, oh, I don't want, because I don't believe, therefore you shouldn't have the excitement of experiencing something. You know, it is what it is. Okay. Yep. So,
or the comfort of that experience too. It can be a very comforting thing. If you're doing ancestral work, it can feel wonderful. But yeah, if you want a little lighter experience, I would work with rosemary. Rosemary reassures the dead that they're going to be remembered, that they're going to be loved, even though they've passed, and is designed to help them move on, therefore. And there are a whole host of herbs that work that way. The very humble plantain is one of my all-time favorite herbs. It grows in your yard. Even if you spray, it grows in your yard, I promise. I'm not talking about the fruit at the grocery store. But it's always been used about facing things you cannot change. And that includes death.
Yes.
So it's been associated with lots of deities and lots of societies about deities that will actually welcome the dead to the underworld or to the the afterlife, because it's about change that you cannot prevent. It's about acceptance. It's about finding serenity and all of that, both for the person who's passed and for the people who have survived their passing. Very traditional. Woden loved it. Orcus loved it. Hades loved it. It's just a beloved plant.
Now, does this any of this stuff work better if you are more psychically in tune, where you are aware of your gifts and you have used them, or does it not really make a difference one way or the other?
It's an interesting question, and I find that through doing the class, the first Sunday of the month on the entheogenic herbs, that I've had students who will tell me, "I can't even meditate." And we go through that process where they've had the tea, it's had a little time to, like a little sample, like a beginner sample, and they've had time to let it have a bit of an effect on their system. And then we do a guided meditation, and it'll be the first time the meditation has ever worked for them. So I do think, even if you're a total skeptic, even if you're sure you have no psychic abilities, that yeah, some of these will actually have the possibility of opening you up to that side of existence, and that can be beautiful.
I think so too. Now, if you have somebody who has never done this before, would you recommend for them to, if you're doing this for the very first time, obviously you're going to stay at home, you're not going to go out, you're not going to drive, but would you recommend them to have someone, maybe not directly with them, but in the house or whatever else, someone who knows what's happening and what's going on?
Yes, that's why I like these classes, because I'm going to be there and I will not be drinking the tea. So I'm there as your anchor, I'm there as your guide. And it's a more comfortable experience, I think, if you know you're safe and there's someone who can just check in on you now and again. So for those stronger herbs.
That makes a lot of sense, and that's good. And I think I can imagine there's a lot of people out there right now, including myself. It's like, I'm very intrigued by this. I'm very interested in this, but obviously safety first, and making sure that everyone is good. And that's where, once again, you come in, because we need that. And you know so well what you're doing. It's important. Now, what about for the unfamiliar, the spirits that maybe you want to reach out, because if I'm a paranormal investigator, I happen to be one, being a paranormal investigator, go into a location and we want to reach out. How does this work? Because presumably is it the same sort of thing where you don't even need to be necessarily at a location, because we always talk about proximity isn't really a thing. What do we do in these situations?
If it's an unfamiliar spirit, something you don't have a personal relationship with or an ancestral relationship with, the herbs that tend to get used are herbs that are associated, again, with protection, as well as perhaps helping that entity to pass on. So holy basil, for example, is a wonderful herb that's traditionally been used to help the dead know it's time for them to go to paradise now. It's a simple thing. You're just giving them a cue so they know where to go. That's from one part of the world. From another part of the world, it might be something like milk thistle, which has been used to protect the person from death, as well as helping them to see and be protected from the dead themselves. Mugwort has been used similarly as a protection, but also as a way to see the dead, because it's very mildly entheogenic. It can have some interesting effects, and those effects can play into your ability to experience those phenomena that you might encounter. Even down to, I hate to say, this is so silly and simple, but if the florist has peonies, an even number of peonies is supposed to symbolize life and the absence of death. So it has been used to let the dead know this is not your room. If it were an odd number of peonies, fine, but not an even number.
I love that. I love that, because it's like, it's stuff every day that so many of us take for granted, right? And that, that everything on earth has a reason. There's nothing that is grown on the earth that doesn't have a reason. So I love that. Liz, I need to get another break in here. So I have a lot more questions when we come back. Folks, if you want to ask Liz a question, put it in the comments or give us a call, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We're talking about herbs that you could use if you want to reach out to loved ones or help spirits or whatever else. Fascinating conversation. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And join us tomorrow on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken. We're going to do a replay. We're going to do an episode from July with author Craig Fraley. He wrote the book, Why There's Doubt with the Moon Landing. And we were talking about why he believes that we actually never got to the moon. It's a very interesting conversation. And I invite you to tune in tomorrow and listen to it. I think Craig has some very interesting things to say, but Craig likes to do it in a way where he's not telling you this is what it is. He's putting it out there for you to decide whether or not you think that we landed on the moon or not, but he's giving the information he believes that you should hear, at least. And it's a great conversation. Friday, we're going to be live from Council Room. It's going to be a fantastic program. I'm really looking forward to it. Hopefully people will show up at Council Room, like into the room that I am, to listen to us do the show on Friday. But they're always a lot of fun. And if you want to go to Council Room, all you need to do is go to council-room.org. That's console-room.org, and you can sign up. There's day passes. They are weekend passes. There's all sorts of ways that you can come out there. Peter Davison, who is the fifth doctor from Doctor Who, he's going to be there. Nicola Bryant, who played Perry. Ian McNeice, we talk about him. He was in Victory of the Daleks, but he also was a main character on the show Doc Martin. So it's really well worth. I'm going to be doing a couple panels out there myself. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then tomorrow afternoon at 4:35 on the Matt McNeil show, I'm going to be on with Matt. We're going to be talking about Doctor Who. We're going to be talking about this convention. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to be on for the rest. I'll be on for the rest of the show. So make sure you tune in. If you are a fan of Doctor Who, let us know. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great week. So please join us. We are talking with Liz Johnson of Magus Books. And we've been talking. What a great conversation about herbs tonight, Liz. It's been really incredible. I got a question for you, though. Are there any herbs that you could use to help you astral project?
Some of those entheogenic herbs do have a reputation for helping people to do that, from the mugwort to the Calia zaccatecici to some of the lily and lotus flowers. Lily and lotus get used interchangeably a lot, but there are two genera or genus that get lumped into that lily and or lotus labeling. So we've separated lily and lotus that way. So, for example, we have blue lotus, but we have a red lily. There's a Nelumbo, and then there's another genus as well. So those are all have fabulous reputations for helping people to do those kinds of workings. Those are the ones I would look into. First, mugwort, I would say, would be the simplest and the gentlest of them all, and not the worst tasting. I just want to warn people, if it has a strong effect on the brain, the stronger the effect, the worse the taste. I have to be honest with you.
So I can see it from here, from where I'm at. There is a jar of mugwort, and it was given to me by Laura Headland, and she's kind of a peddler of it at the station, quite honestly. And I just look at it because it's not appealing looking at all. It's like brown. And I just, it's there, and I'm just like, I don't know. It sounds like something that is created out of the universe of Harry Potter, by the way. You know, just I don't know what to do about it. And part of me is like, if I have to take that, I may not need to astral project. So I don't know. You know, it's
Maybe think of it as mugglewort to aid the poor muggles in their seeking for astral projection.
It's been on a table for, I remember when we had a meeting at the station last year in the conference room, and I was given a jar at that point. It's been, I brought it home, and it's been on the table literally since then. And I think that was like.
Check the medical, but you should try the tea. It's actually quite pleasant.
All right. Well, I mean, I trust you.
And it's also the herb that has the reputation for letting you see the little fairies.
Oh, great. Great. Now, I got a question because I had just lost my cat about a month or so ago. When you're talking about the familiar spirits, do animals ever play a part in that?
Absolutely. I think our bonds with our animal companions are so vital to our lives that I definitely think that one, especially a cat or a dog, really might come around just to check on you now and again.
Yeah.
Just to make sure you're doing okay. And there are plenty of plants that are specifically associated with any of these plants that we've talked about tonight included. But, you know, a little catnip never hurt anybody either. And that's a lovely way. You add that that's little true. Minty catnip.
You know, that's actually, I mean, just because it's called catnip, it doesn't mean it's harmful to humans. And it has its effect on cats. I mean, it's kind of what we're talking about here, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Helps them be psychic. I will say it does not have the same effect on humans that it does on cats. We have other herbs for that. But...
We got other herbs. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. No, it's interesting. I mean, I'd if I could take some of that stuff and then demand to see that little crab apple face. He didn't know how to smile. He was kind of dour on the outside and happy on the inside, I hope. I don't know. So what about, you know, we talked a little bit about spirits that we want to keep away from us. But just in general, I mean, like say that in your world, I don't think this is too terribly like unheard of. Like someone might say, I feel like I might have a curse on me. I feel like someone might have, you know, have put some sort of negative energy or thought on me. Is there anything we can do at that point that kind Absolutely. Of that can combat that? Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. You've bought a new house and you think it's haunted and they're not happy you're there. You think someone's put a hex on you. Something's not working right. Do check a few basic things. Like if you particularly feel bad, in a new space, a new home of some kind, go ahead, buy a radon kit. Better safe than sorry. Let's make sure that those most mundane things are not a factor.
Yes,
but once you've put all that aside and you are sure that you're dealing with something on this level, then there are a variety of things you can do. One of my favorites, and I would even recommend this after going on a particularly difficult ghost hunting experience. If you've encountered something that was particularly uncomfortable, frightening, anything on those lines, and that is just to bathe with a little bit of the herb of rue in your bath water. Mm-hmm. That's a really classic cleansing herb to drive away anything that's a hex, a curse, anything evil, anything you just don't want in your space. And there's a variety of herbs that do that. So that's something you could absolutely do when you are done. But even while you're there, if the ultimate goal is to say, it's time for you to go on, it's time for you to get past here, we've tried the gentle way, we've done the rosemary, we've promised that we think you're fabulous, and you're still bothering me, then it's time to think about things that have classically been used to cleanse spaces, again, from around the world. So if you want to be French about it, burn lavender. Lavender's perfect for that. Mm-hmm. If you want to be a little more Middle Eastern, myrrh cleanses. Sage would be another choice. Although I would say, if you're going to buy sage right now, especially because there have been so many fires, not just in California this year, but in the last several years, where sage likes to grow and where people like to harvest it, ask that it's farmed for right now. Let's try and leave the wild sage alone. let it repopulate. Let's go for the farm stuff. That's what we have right now at our shop for that reason, because we want to protect the environment. And we also want to let that wild sage do what it does and evolve the way it wants to evolve. So when it's back up and running, great. We'll get more of the wildcrafted, but
and it will. Of those
herbs, any of those herbs, well, traditionally, whether we're talking about the myrrh or the lavender or the sages or the Palo Santos or the Imfefo, if you want to go with an African choice, which is actually all of those my absolute favorite. All of them are used. They've all been burned to clear a space of anything negative. I know people tend to have strong feelings about the word smudge or smudging right now. What I will say to address the controversy is that herb, that word entered English several centuries before any Europeans made it to this continent. So smudging is something that was done, and there are specific practices and traditions from Ireland to India. I mean, honestly, and this is not to gainsay or say anything negative about local indigenous practices. Those are important too and deserve the same respect and honor. But the truth is, people have always filled spaces with smoke that kills stuff. And that's what all those herbs have done. Lavender, myrrh, sage, they all kill microbes that you would otherwise inhale and could make you ill. So they get rid of evil spirits on every level, physical, spiritual, the mental and emotional levels as well. So any of those are really used to start to set a limit and make it clear that this space is now my space, and this entity that I'm not comfortable with is not allowed to be here anymore, is not allowed to affect my life anymore.
And I like kind of talking about sage a little bit, because yes, sage is very good. Sage is very powerful, but it's not the end all be all. And I feel like amongst paranormal investigators, you know, sage is basically, it's, you know, they use it for everything, and that it can help, but it doesn't. There are different types of, because there's different tools in the toolbox, I guess, the best way to say it. And what you just said, I think it's very important for people to realize that, you know, there are a lot of options. And it's also, I love the fact that to be very concerned about the availability of some of this because of what's been going on around the planet, and to allow the Earth to kind of restock, literally.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Whereas farm sage, farmed lavender, these are readily available. They're easy to work with. The myrrh, that's a more expensive item because it's basically tree sap. It's a very thick tree sap. It's not quite like tapping a maple where you're going to get almost water. This is going to stick to the tree as it comes out because it's very, very thick, but it's lovely. It smells a little bit clean. You could also go with a variety of herbs that just smell clean. Chaparral, tea tree. There are these wonderful herbs that as soon as you inhale them, you go, oh, I think that's related to bleach, isn't it? You can't help it. It will just put you in a clean state of mind immediately.
That's great.
You can also go with herbs that just invite sunshine into the space. Calendula would be a great example. It's always been used as a protective herb. It's always been used as a protective herb in these kinds of settings, among others. But it's also about just bringing in the sunshine.
Have you ever, or does this exist? Did you maybe put something like this together that you could literally sell to people? Like, these are like for paranormal investigating, or for spirit, for reaching the spirit. These are things that you can use. Because I mean, it's just like you're mentioning it to us, and I remember a couple, but I'm not going to remember all of them. And it just seems like something that if you haven't, you should put something together and even like a little package of the different types and make it available for people. I think that would be really interesting.
Oh, that is a fun idea. I think that would be great for us to do. I agree. So you might see that coming from the store in the next 6 months or so. But even if I don't get to it before you want them, if you're out there listening, we can put that I can definitely help you put that together. And I'm there at least Sunday through Wednesday, guaranteed. So just come by. We'll get you set up. It's easy.
I think that's great. And folks, if you're just like, well, I've heard of Megas, but I don't know where they're at. Megas is located at 1848 Central Avenue in Minneapolis. My own stomping grounds, I must say. And you can go visit them over at megasbooks.com, magusbooks.com. And folks listening outside of the listening area, call them. Go to megasbooks.com, call them. If there's something that you can order books online, you can order all sorts of things, call up Liz and get some orders, get some help and whatever else. I mean, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Helping people.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. That is really cool. Any events coming up at the bookstore that you want to talk about?
Ones I have not talked about include a new art opening that's happening in two Sundays, I believe it is, at 3:00. Chris Wilson is a local artist. She is my favorite local artist for the working person. We have art shows that are, the paintings are $1,000 and up each. They're gorgeous. They're wonderful. They're fabulous. Chris is a self-taught artist. I've watched her grow in her skill set every year, and the art she's got this time is stunning, but there's not anything in there that costs $150. Her art starts at $30. It's incredibly affordable for a unique, original piece of art. So lots of good classes coming up, lots of wonderful events, the book signing with Renee, this art show with Chris. Just come and check it all out.
We got to go. We're out of time. Thank you, Liz. Come listen to me tomorrow at 4:35 and Matt McNeil, and we'll see you Friday. Everyone, have a good night.